One another. It's one another ministry. And that's what we're talking also right now about with Nancy Fitzgerald, the Anchors Away, that one another and kind of leads to potentially revival. That opens up the opportunity for God to do some incredible things. Good morning, Nancy.
Well, good morning, you two.
How are you?
I'm telling you, I am good. I'm fired up after listening to your exchange on the freedom from religion. Wow.
Yeah.
Where are the Christian voices? You know, but
it's crazy.
This is so, it is so insane. If we were to go back even a few years and think that this would happen, I don't think any of us would believe it. But anyway, we're talking about revival, and just a note about this freedom from religion. Do you just mind if I just say that a religion doesn't have to be based on the existence of gods or a god? You know, it's equivalent to religion because they believe in something that cannot be proven, although we can prove the death and resurrection of Christ for sure. But atheism rejects the belief of any deities, and in that case makes them a religion in themselves. So I just want to make that clear, that what they're talking about is so ridiculous. But with that, and you know, then we look at COVID and the massive, you know, disgust with what we've all been witnessing with the election, the post-election, and during the election with misbehaving, and we're watching, you know, streets turn into war zones. I think when we're talking about revival, I just think people are done with it, and for many, they're saying, God, where are you? We have been praying, where are you? And God is saying, I'm on my throne, and I'm living through the Spirit in my believers. And by the way, I'm in control. And I'm in control of this country as well. And we ask, where are you, church? Like I was just thinking earlier when y'all were talking. And the church, you know, most of them are closed and or online or whatever. But the bigger question is, where are the Christians? Where is your voice? And I think the Satan has, through his way of wanting to kill and destroy and turn everything into chaos, has caused many of us, probably the majority of Christians, of fear from speaking out, anxiety, or just real fear with this COVID thing that they're going to get sick or a loved one is. And I have heard so many times, I can't wait for things to get back to normal. And I'm thinking, it's normal that God is into this mess. I mean, I'm just it's the way my mind works. It's normal that it's gotten us here, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And some think, you know, oh, we just need another Billy Graham. We need another nationwide revival. That will do it. Or better yet, we're hearing over and over people who are just done with this say, just come, Lord Jesus, quickly, just come.
Mm-hmm. Well, Nancy, I know when we talk about revival, and we were discussing this earlier this morning too, I think you could ask two or three different people, what's your definition of revival? And you're going to get two or three different answers. But I want to ask you biblically, exactly what is revival? How do we define this?
Well, it's in the noun form of the verb revive, you know, that means to live again, or to return, or to restore to consciousness or life, which I think is so awesome. That's why I wanted to talk about it this morning. It can also be the restoration of something to its true nature and purpose, i.e., for those of us who have been born again, I think it's this voice, sometimes not that gentle, quiet voice of God, but I think it's his voice to us now personally. Because before COVID, the church was still in trouble. You know, we've talked about endlessly how the church, you know, the churches in general, how so few of them now are continuing to talk about the gospel, the good news, the hope in Jesus Christ, not the hope in you, the hope in Jesus Christ. And we just see this whole thing about social justice and progressive Christianity, like we were talking about the other day, who for some reason has been persuaded by Satan that that doesn't really matter anymore, that we need to go ahead and do something else, something man-made. And I'm telling you, I have such passion early in the morning about this. I'm not always passionate like this, but God has called me to speak into the lives of young people, of our young college students, and of high school juniors and seniors. And we're seeing a massive number of these young men and women that have lost their faith in God before they graduate. And trust me, this starts in junior high. And statistics will tell us that the fault is with the churches who have not built into these young people a solid biblical worldview that affects not just their emotions, but their minds and their hearts. And the thing is, I think we need to call it out, because most of these students who are self-proclaimed Christians who have walked away grew up attending church, you know, and they identify as Christians. But the truth of the matter is, when it's all said and done, they're really not. Mm-hmm. And I can testify to this for having worked with them and loved them for so long. And, you know, this idea of revival isn't new to this country. We had one back in the 1730s. There were days I feel that I was back in there, but in the 40s, you know, that was very successful. And then I think many of us can remember Dr. Billy Graham, who to me was just a rock star as far as a follower of Jesus. And wow, and he impacted our culture. I can only say there was one in Indianapolis that I went to, and he was just, it was the most amazing thing how he could fill a stadium and watch people filtering down, giving their lives to Christ. And this is the thing about this revival that I think Billy Graham, God used Billy, it wasn't just a come in, give my voice, let this go, and then leave. You know, the reason why he changed cultures, unlike a lot of Christian events, his organization made sure that they were doing follow-up studies with those who trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I remember the pre-work that went into his coming to a city. It was ginormous. And that is why I think God blessed him with really changed cultures as people began to study in homes, even across, especially Indianapolis, and their lives began to change.
Nancy, that's a huge, huge factor, that follow-up. And that is something that, you know, really was a strong differentiator. And I want to get into the desperate need for revival, but we have to take a quick pause right now. We're going to come back and we're going to examine what about that desperate need for revival. So everybody just stick with us.
And we're right in the middle of our biblical worldview question of the week with Nancy Fitzgerald from Anchors Away. And we're talking today about revival.
Hey, Nancy, you said that, you know, we have a desperate need for a revival, but not the typical kind of big stadium event or the big tent revival that comes to mind. What kind of revival do you say we need?
Yeah, and I think that's just not because of COVID being around right now. You know, I just believe in my soul that we need revival with those who claim to be Christians. I mean, we need a strong Christian voice, a strong Christian witness, and we're being feared out of it. And I just think we need to talk to those who claim to be Christians that just simply do not live it out, starting in the home with friends or at work, you know. And I think too often, maybe because of people's idea of revival, that if I repeat a prayer, then I'm good with God. And I'm saying clearly that a verbal prayer, you know, repeated, that brings about no life change, no obedience, no reverence to Christ, no heart that really understands or wants to understand what it means to follow Jesus. And there, I think it is just so important that we need a personal return to Jesus. This needs to come from us individually. And I'm talking about to those massive numbers of self-identified Christians who identify themselves as Christians because they go to church and they sit in a pew and they listen to a pastor, or they watch online. But beyond that, they have no time for God. And I think this is a wonderful, critically important wake-up call. You know, God calls each believer to a personal spiritual awakening, resulting in our desire to, even though it's so difficult, to repent of sins, you know, and seeking to live no longer for ourselves, but for God. And many of us, you know, I believe now is the time to assess where we are in our own faith. And are we meeting with God daily to read his word and plan for the day? You know, it's like there it is. It's not complicated, you know. And to those in our family or our friends or enemies or those who work with us, see us as men or a woman of God that's consistently kind, loving, forgiving, and humble. This doesn't come necessarily from all us preaching. It's just how we live our lives. And here's the big question I would ask. Would Christians recognize you as a follower of Jesus through your behavior at work or your kids at home? And, you know, we need to just be real with ourselves. We need to dare be real. Revelation 2, 4, and 5, I'm thinking about this, where Christ says, I have been against you, that you have abandoned the love that you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent. Do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. And I think what God is saying here, look, we're called to be light. And you are doing so much damage claiming to be a Christian and not living it out. And you're calling disruption. You know, get your life together, because that light's going to be taken away from you. You're not going to have a voice for me. Because being a Christian is having the Holy Spirit live in us and live out differently from the world. Matthew 13, 3-5. Once there was a man who went out to sow grain. As he scattered the seed in the field, some of it fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some of it fell on rocky grounds where there was little soil. The seed soon sprouted because the soil wasn't deep, meaning it couldn't grow. Who are we? And I think it's time that we just really think about, who am I before mm-hmm. God?
Well, Nancy, we've only got about 60 seconds left. We're going to be joining up with Randy Ollis for a look at our forecast. But before we let you scoot out of here, we've got to ask if you can sum it up in 60 seconds or so. What should real personal revival look like?
I think real personal revival can be messy and complicated, and in the end will be joyful and energizing and life-saving. That's what I think it is. And I think when a believer has fallen away from their faith and confess their sins, the Holy Spirit promises to come and be alive in them, not re-come into them, but become alive. And heart change comes through the process of dying to ourselves. And trust me, it is an ongoing battle, but it's worth it. And we need to, Christians, start living intentionally every day to the glory of God. We need to be that voice in the midst of these crazies who are out there telling us there is no God and you cannot speak. We can speak. We have a voice, you know. And this process of self-revival, going to God yourself with no one else, just you, gives hope back to those of us who are backsliders, because God celebrates a Christian who realizes that they have sinned by walking away from their faith, confesses and repents. And we're told in, you know, in scripture that God celebrates, the angels celebrate when one repents. And man, we really need to do this.
And that is so, so important that we do that. And Nancy, this has been outstanding. I love that fact, the whole fact around that we need personal revival. Tell us where we can find information about Anchors Away.
Please go to anchorsaway.org and sign up for boot camp. You can go online, do this yourself. We will send you a book that you can go through with your family or with yourself or with a friend or whatever that looks like, because we make this accessible for you. It is critically important. Christians, we have a voice. We need to build a foundation from which to live so we can be that voice, not only audibly, but by the way we live.
Oh, I love it. Nancy Fitzgerald, thank you so much. God bless you and have an awesome day, okay?
You too. Thank you so much, you too.